The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us today on Kingdom Connection. It's my prayer that God will use something specific in this broadcast today to really speak directly to your spirit. I say that with confidence because I know God still speaks to us, and it's really our desire here that you will open your heart and hear a now word of what God is saying to you. We're so grateful to have you with us on Kingdom Connection today. Let's go right into the service.
I want you to look with me in Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yes, we wept when we remembered Zion. Here's what I want you to focus on. We hung our harps up in the willows in the midst of it. For there were those who carried us away captive, asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The King James says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But what touched me about this story is we have a picture of some people who had a wonderful life in Jerusalem and wonderful worship, and they played their harps and they had a choir that would sing in the temple, and people would shout and praise God in the temple. But now circumstances had changed and they were taken into Babylonian captivity. They were about to enter across the river. They would go and be enslaved for many years, and they knew it. And the Bible said in desperation, there's my saxophone and I love to play it. It's a part of my life. It's a very big part of my life since I was 12 years old and I picked it up for the first time. But I can't imagine anything so bad happening in my life that I would say, I'm never going to pick that instrument up again. I'm never going to play it again. I've been so hurt. I've been so devastated. I'm so defeated that I've lost my song. I've lost my music. I've lost my worship. And I'm going to hang that instrument of worship up in the willow tree, which is a sign of weeping and sorrow because of what's happened in my life, and I'll never sing again, and I'll never play again, and I'll never worship again with joy the Lord. But that's what had happened to these people. The primary instrument or musical instrument that they had was the harp. And they said, we're putting our harps, we'll never sing again. Circumstances have changed, and this is so important. When conditions change, that's when the enemy whispers, hang it up. When things change from very positive and very delightful to total uncertainty and mystery, and where is God, and why would he allow this to happen, and why doesn't he do something? That's when the enemy comes and says, just hang it up, just give up, just throw in the towel, and you'll never sing again, you'll never be happy again, you'll never play that song again. And this is the point that these people had reached. I want to remind you today that worship is not just something we do. Worship is a weapon. The devil's desire is to make us more defensive than offensive. Lucifer was the archangel of worship. He was over heaven's worship. And he knows more about worship than any of us, including me. He knows that if he can defeat us individually or as a church or as a people, the only way that he can do that is to first defeat us in the arena of worship. Satan knows that your worship is a weapon, and he wants you to get so discouraged that you lose your song, you lose the heart of worship, you lose your love for God. When I think about how that the most potent weapon that we have in our offensive operation against Satan's power is worship. When we begin to worship, we invade the devil's territory. When we begin to worship like Aaron did, he took a censer, and when a plague broke out in Israel, the Bible said he ran and stood between the living and the dead, and he would swing that censer, and those incense would burn up, and the Bible said the plague stopped. Psalm 68 in verse 1 says, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." When you begin to praise God, and then the next part says, "And our God has gone up with a shout." The way that God gets aroused, the way that God will rise up in your defense is when you begin to praise him. He inhabits the praise. And notice when God arises, the enemy starts running. Two things happen when we begin to praise the Lord. God rises and the enemy runs. He runs from the worship of God's people. Listen, when you worship God, what you're doing is you are redeeming the thing that Satan stole from heaven. Satan was the worship leader, and you become his replacement. When you begin to praise God, you're restoring and redeeming what Satan stole from heaven. He hates to hear you worship. Worship is so much of a weapon that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was about to fight a battle, and he said, "Where's the spears? And where's the swords? And where's the weapons of war?" And the prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord, you will not fight with those weapons, but you put the praise singers and the musicians out on the front line." And he said, "Worship will be your weapon in this battle." Praise bursts the presence of angels into the battle zone of your experience. When you begin to praise God, praise is God's address. Praise brings revelation. Listen carefully to this, and don't ever forget what I'm about to share with you. When Joseph was there in Egypt as a powerful man who had all the wealth and the food when the nation and the world was starving to death, and his brothers came, the same brothers that had done him so wrong. Do you remember he disguised himself and they did not know it was Joseph, their brother? But the Bible says something that you'll read right over. Do you know what made him reveal who he really was to them? He had all that they needed and they didn't even know who he was. And they were in a famine and they had come just to get some scraps. But do you know what made him reveal? He said, "I want you to go back to your father, and I want you to bring the youngest son back with you." And the Bible said, and suddenly one of the brothers named Judah stepped forward. And he said, "Oh, that would break my father's heart if I have to go get my younger brother and bring him to you to enslave." He said, "I tell you what, take me instead." And when Judah, which means praise, that's the Hebrew word for praise, when Judah stepped forward, the Bible said Joseph broke and he went behind a curtain and he began to weep and he took his disguise off and he came out and he said, "I am Joseph, I am your brother." If you really want to see who the king is, when you begin to worship, worship is revelatory. Worship brings revelation. You will see who God is only when you begin, when Judah in your life steps forward and begins to praise him. From that day forward, Judah and Benjamin were inseparable. They were always together. Every time you read in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 12, 21, when the kingdom split, Judah stayed with Benjamin. Benjamin, according to Genesis 49, the prophecy over him is he would be a warrior, a ravenous wolf. Praisers and warriors go together. If you praise, you become a warrior. You've got to be a worshiper and a warrior in times like these. The Bible says in Psalms 50, praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. It seems backwards. It seems like the praise should start in heaven and it should fill the earth. But God says no. He says it starts on earth. And when you praise me, and remember, your body is the temple, your body is the sanctuary. And when you praise me in the sanctuary, he says, then I will turn around and I will begin to send the blessings. If nothing goes up, nothing comes down. If you don't release worship, miracles do not come down. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in here and he'll go with you out there. Praise him in here and he'll fill your weak all week long. Praise Him in here, in your heart, in your life. Ezekiel saw the throne of God, and he saw it as wheels. It had wheels. He said, I saw the throne, and it was a mobile throne. And he said, it was like wheels in the middle of a wheel. He said, I saw flashing light. I saw living creatures. I saw all of these things enfolding upon themselves. And he said, I saw wheels turning on the throne as God was moving from heaven to earth. And then he said, the only thing human that he saw in all of this flashing and lightning and glory was human hands. The tremendous power of God's presence is in our hands when we begin to worship God. We've got a rolling throne. He gives us somewhere to praise God. Praise Him in the sanctuary. That's your temple. And then He says something to praise God for. Praise Him for His mighty acts and for His excellent greatness. And then He gives us something to praise God with. Praise Him with the trumpet. Praise Him with the stringed instruments. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. Well, I'm not a musician, Pastor Franklin. Well, can you breathe? Do you breathe? Because He then finishes it and says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. I'm right where I wanted to get. So these people have been taken captive. And here's the lesson. Look at me, everyone. It's so important. They're prisoners of war because they have hung up their harps in the willow trees. You're either going to be a POW, meaning a person of worship, or you're going to become a prisoner of war. Because when hard times and bad things happen to you and you hang your harp up, then I'm going to tell you something. You become a prisoner of war to hopelessness, to depression, to addiction, to defeat, to lies, to fear, to worry, to depression. I refuse to do that. I have a choice. Which one do you choose? You're going to be a POW. You're either going to be a person of worship or you're going to become a prisoner of war. And you decide. When your mouth is silent, when you hang your harp up, your worship up because of what you've been through, you lose the victory. I want us to understand that the Bible said that they were in a strange land. And this is the problem. They were dealing with things they didn't plan for. It's not the things we never saw this year coming. We never saw the coronavirus coming. We never saw and dreamed the things that we've seen, the division, the pain, the hurt in our nation, the unemployment, all of this stuff, all of the division, all of the hurt, and now being out of church for almost 6 months, we didn't see that. It's the strangest. The Bible said they were in a strange land. You talk about, this is the strangest year of my life. I have never seen anything like this in my life. It's the strangest time for the church. It's the strangest time for people individually. It's the strangest time in our families and in our lives. But that's when the enemy whispers, give up your worship, lose your song, hang up your harp in the willow tree. But if I'm reading this text right, it's when the unexpected happens, you have to determine you're not going to let it steal your song. You've got to learn how to sing when you are in uncertainty, when things have happened that you never saw coming and you never planned for it. That's that strange place, that strange time, and you have to make a decision. And here's how you do it. The thing you have to do is you have to remember that you don't allow your identity to be defined by circumstances. I'm still a child of God no matter what I'm going through. My circumstances may have changed from being blessed in the temple to a situation where I feel like I'm at the river right next to Babylon and all hell is breaking loose, but that doesn't change. Where you are does not change who you are. Your geography does not change your genealogy. Who you are is who you are, and it's not determined on by where you are. You may be watching me in the hospital with COVID right now, but that does not change the fact that you're not here and you're there in the hospital, and that doesn't change the fact that you are still a child of God. You may be sitting here today, and last week you were employed, and this week you're unemployed. But where you are does not change who you are. You're still blood bought. You're still called by His name. You still have Him as your Savior and your Redeemer. You're God's child no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. And that's why you ought not to hang your harp up, but you ought to praise Him even more, that you're not alone, that you won't face it by yourself. Shout amen, somebody. Tell somebody I'm still a child of God. Whether I have COVID or I don't have COVID, whether I go through high times or I go through low times, I'm still a child of God, and that makes me want to praise Him. Don't allow where you are to hinder your worship. Paul and Silas started praising God in the jail cell in the midnight hour. They sang praises unto God. If anybody had a right to hang their harp up, now I'm getting a little stirred in my spirit, because I don't believe that you're hearing what I'm preaching to you, but you better hear it, because it's critical in these times. We're in a strange time, and the voice of the enemy is saying to believers, hang your worship in a tree of weeping and lose your song. But notice what they did. In the midnight hour, backs beaten, chained to the wall, Paul starts going, do, re, mi. Me, 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 re, re, re. And Silas says, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting ready to sing my song of joy in this filthy prison house. Surrounded with rats, surrounded with guards and captives, I'm going to lift Him up in my midnight hour. And he began to sing praises unto God in that horrible circumstance. The Bible said they hung their harps in the willow trees. They hung their praise and worship up because they got in discouraging circumstances. The Bible said what got them to the place of giving up and hanging their instrument into the trees of sorrow was, first of all, that first part of the verse. In verse 2, it tells us they hung their harps up, but in verse 1, it tells us why they did it. It said they sat down, and then they started weeping. And then the next thing you know, they lost their song. They hung their harps up. It all starts when you sit down. They got tired of standing. You have to keep standing for what's right. You have to keep standing on what this book says. You have to keep standing. You can't get your eyes on people. You can't get your eyes on what so-and-so's doing. You just keep standing when you know what is right and you do what God. And when you feel like sitting down, that's when you need to stand up and start praising God. And when the enemy says, sit down and cry, you need to say, no, I'm going to stand up and praise, because I know my God's still on the throne. Give God a mighty praise and refuse to sit down and cry. Boo hoo hoo, or praise the Lord. You choose. You choose. You're going to have to choose. Don't trade your harp for a handkerchief. Have a pity party. When you send out the invitations, nobody comes but the devil. And he says, yes, you're right. You should. No, no, no. Stand up to life. We reign in this life as kings, the Bible said. We reign in this life. God does not made you a trampling mat for the devil. Weeping may endure for the night. And when it does, that's when you sing. Sing through the weeping. Sing through the sorrow. Sing through the depression. Sing through the dark days. Weeping endures for the night. But the devil needs to know that my sorrow and your sorrow has an expiration date already written. Before you ever got in it, he already had something coming down the road. And he says, if you make it through the night, joy comes in the morning. And the only thing that's going to get you from a weeping night to a joyful morning is praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me put some worship on. Let me get into the book. Let me lift my hands even when I don't feel like it. Hallelujah. God, make this more than words and just another sermon. It's got to become who we are. You don't understand. I am a praiser. Before I was a preacher, I was a praiser. Before I was anything in the church, I was a praiser. There was something in me, in my DNA. My mama and my daddy put praise in my DNA, I do believe. And I can't help myself. I can't go but so long. And I'll start singing praise. And you say, well, I don't know no songs. Well, sing this. Hallelujah. I don't have the coronavirus today. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm not in the ICU. Hallelujah. If I'm in it, I'm coming out of it. Because he setteth an end to darkness, Job said. I don't have cancer. I got food today. I got a roof over my head. I got all that I need. And if you do have and you don't have, praise him, and that'll build the bridge. I want you to notice in closing this. The Bible said that the enemy required of us a song. Did you read that? Notice that the Babylonians, when they saw the Israelites who were famous for their worship, hanging their harps up in the willow trees, these are God's people. And the Babylonians are a type of the world's people. And the world's people are going through the same thing that the church people are going through. They've just been up on their holy hill so long that they can't relate to those people down there. But now we're all going through the same thing. Can't even half come to church. Go for 5 months. So we're in the same boat as the Babylonians. And the only thing that the Babylonians said to them is they said, would you please sing for us? If we ever needed to hear your song, we need to hear it. I'm looking for something. I worship 400 gods across the river over there in Babylon, but they just don't meet my need. If I could see, I've heard you people sing. I've seen the joy that you have. And would you, I require of you, please give me your song, because we're all going through the same thing. And if ever there was a time when the world needs to hear our joy, hear our faith, hear our love, hear our praise, hear our worship, it's now. People need hope. People need it.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Kingdom Connection. It's because of you we're on television right now. Our number one goal for being on television is to reach people with the gospel, to find the hurting, the broken, those that feel like they don't matter and don't count, and call them into a real loving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're hurting today and you're watching right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, just say those words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You died and shed your blood to forgive me, and rose again to live through me. I give you my life. Give me your peace. Give me your help. Give me your purpose for my life. Help my family. Help me. Direct me. Guide me through this time. In Jesus' name, I don't want to be alone anymore. Amen and amen. I really want you to know a miracle just happened. Our team has prepared a special kit designed for your new walk with the Lord. We really want to help you. We pray that this 21-day devotional will bless you and guide you. Whatever season of life that you may be in, you'll sense the presence, the peace, and the goodness of God. For decades, I've set the beginning of the year for prayer and fasting. I know we're approaching Christmas and the holidays. We've come through so much with the election, and it's feast time again. Hopefully, we'll be able to get together with our families and have big Christmas celebrations. But this January, in just a few short weeks, we'll be coming together as a ministry to set aside the first of the year and seek God in fasting and in prayer. For 21 days, we will seek the face of the Lord. Our team has put together some unique resources to help you plan and prepare and to build your faith for a successful fast. You can do it. And please know that your gift of support to this ministry helps us keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ all around the world in over 200 nations all over the world. You keep it going. You make it happen when you give. That's our primary reason for being here. Everything else is just that we do. And we do a lot of missions and we do a lot of support stuff. But the primary reason we're here is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to 200 nations through this broadcast and create inspirational resources to use and bless people's lives and tell them more about Jesus. Thank you. Please help us end strong this year. Give an unusual gift. We need your support to do what God has called us to do. Thank you.
Are you ready to transform your life? Now you can experience Jensen Franklin's dynamic teaching on fasting in his New York Times best-selling book, Fasting. You'll receive the keys to encountering the countless rewards and blessings of fasting that open the door to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Everything you need to access the power of biblical fasting is found in the 2020 Fasting Kit, including the types of fasts in the Bible, the secret to a successful fast, choosing the right fast for you, the connection between fasting and prayer, how to begin and end your fast, the essential components of a successful fast, what to expect physically, mentally, and spiritually. With your generous gift of $1,000 or more this month, you'll not only help us preach the gospel through the broadcast to over 200 nations globally, but help us go above and beyond to help our partners in Israel. You can request the 2020 Limited Edition Fasting Kit, plus this stunning ornament made with soil from Jerusalem. We'll also include this specially created blanket inscribed with the Numbers chapter 6 blessing and our special edition Legacy Bible with over 300,000 words of commentary, including highlights from Jensen Franklin's fasting teachings. Or with your best gift of $50 or more, you can receive Jensen Franklin's Fasting Kit and get ready for God's power to break through in your life. Fasting is a tremendous weapon and a source of power in the life of every believer. Experience it today.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on our Holy Land tour. It's an amazing trip, unlike anything you've ever experienced. And we'll be on the trip. We get on the buses. Our family will be on there. And I promise you, it will change your life. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. This is the year to go. God's going to open your eyes to things you've never seen and experienced before in the Holy Land. Get signed up today.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.